from.
Yeah. So I thought that was good.
Kai.
Tain.
Poland.
Tain.
Hagion.
Jerusalem.
Kainain.
Adon.
Kata by Nusen.
Kata by Nusen.
Ek.
Ek.
Tu.
Tu.
Uranu.
Uranu.
Apo.
Apo.
Tufiu.
Tufiu.
Hetoi ma Seminain.
Hetoi ma Seminain.
Hos.
Hos.
Nymphane.
Nymphane.
Kakos men. Menane.
Kakos men menane.
Tol.
Tol.
Andre.
Andre.
Altace.
Altace.
All right, now I'm going to remind you again of the nose in this 21st chapter here. The nose. There is no more sea, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more curse, no more night, no more death. And here's another one. No more, or no temple, no more sacrifices, no sun, no moon, no night, no locked gates, and no sin.
Where is that?
These are just notes. These are just notes.
Just notes.
I don't know. I don't think yours has got it down there. Okay, 21, 2B down at the bottom of it. I'll probably wrote it in there later. And that one, I keep adding to my notes all the time. And the city. The holy Jerusalem. There's a difference here. When Jesus came to Jerusalem the first time, what is, by the way, what does Jerusalem mean? What does Jerusalem mean? Have you ever heard the word shalom?
Yes.
All right. That means peace. It means city of peace. That's what it means. City of peace. It has never been a city of peace. It's been destroyed so many times. So many times it's been destroyed. One time, when the temple and all of Jerusalem was completely destroyed, the temple was standing and it had a lot of gold in the walls and stuff. And the man that was conquering at that time says, well, just leave it standing. It's too beautiful to tear down. But Jesus had prophesied that there wouldn't be one stone left upon another. So accidentally, they started a fire. And it burned all the wood and melted the gold, and the gold ran between the stones.
Who started the fire?
Some soldier accidentally started the fire. It got going. Of course, they didn't have fire departments back then, you know. Anyway, it ravaged through that temple. And all the gold in the temple ran between the stones. And of course, you know what they did when they started looking for the gold? There's gold, gold fever. And the soldiers and the people literally tore down every stone to get the gold that ran between the stones. So the prophecy was fulfilled. God started the fire, if you want to know who started the fire.
I thought 70 AD when Titus came along, that's when the temple was destroyed.
Yeah. But then it was. He wasn't going to destroy the temple. Yes.
Oh, he wasn't. So that's when the fire went in 70 AD. Titus came over.
Yes. It was a little bit later than that. They had destroyed all the city except for the temple, and he thought it was so beautiful that he didn't want to destroy the temple. So he said, "Just leave it stand." And of course, the temple is a small area. All the walls and everything else and the buildings all around it had been destroyed and leveled, except for the temple itself. And finally, there was a fire started, and the gold, all the gold platings and the wall and everything were all melted, and they ran between the stones, and they leveled it to get the gold. John.
Jerusalem, city of peace.
Yeah, city of peace, Jerusalem. And the city, the holy Jerusalem. Yeah, God, I believe, inspires John to put down Tain Hagion here. The word holy means not of earth. Okay, that's literally what it means. Holy means not of earth. There are people who have the etymology of that. Some people trace it to something that is separated. Well, we understand only earthly things, don't we, today? Because we're of the earth. we're related to the earth, we are earthly. But when you're born again, when that Spirit of God comes into you and you're born again and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, when you've repented of your sins, your ideas change. Your thought patterns change. You're a changed person. And you no longer think like you did before. Here it says the holy Jerusalem. The Jerusalem, not the Jerusalem that was on earth, but a Jerusalem that came down from God out of heaven. This new Jerusalem. This holy Jerusalem. This separated Jerusalem. New, it says here. And I saw coming down out of the heaven from the God, having been prepared just like the bride, the nymphane. There's a... I'll give you a little history of this. This is a little off color sometimes, it might think. But the word nymphane means a bridal bed. The bed always belonged to the bride. And there was a what they called the nymphomaniacs. You know, a woman that was very... romantically exaggerated in her actions. She was the one that kept her husband in the bedroom all the time. And this was an old Greek term, and this is where this comes from, is this word nymphane. This is the bridal chamber, the bridal bed. Okay? And it says, having been prepared as the bride, the nymphane. All right? Having been set in order. This is a beautiful word, too. It comes from cosmio. And the word cosmetics comes from this word. Some of you have heard me say this before, but I heard a preacher saying one time, he said, you know, an old, it's all right for a woman to wear some makeup. He said, an old barn even looks good when you paint it a little bit.
Amen. Well, I'm from the farm in Iowa, I know.
An old barn even looks a little better when you set it in order.
Amen.
Cosmos, it cosmio, it means to set in order. Set it in order. Having been set in order for the husband of her. All right? For the husband. And the word Andre here, this is where the name Andre comes from. Andre. And it means man or husband. Andre. All right? He brings some of these words over into English so you can understand and make you help you remember that other one. It's good, but it'll help you remember that too.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Well, I'm just
going to
ask, how is that spelled in English?
What's the one? Andre? Andre? Yeah, I guess. A-N-D-R-E, I think.
Gynaecus is woman in Greek, isn't it? Gynaecus woman?
Gyne. Yeah. Gyne. Woman or wife. Yeah. Gynecology is the English term that crosses over to gyne. All right, gynecology. And we studied last week, 2 Peter 3:10-13.
Amen.
And let me go to Psalm 37, verse 11, and read this just a little bit. Psalm 37, verse 11. Because that cross references over here also. Find it here. Psalm 37, verse 11.
Yes, sir.
Now, remember that God is... We think so many times today that God... And there's a term in the Bible that says He winked at or He overlooks the extreme wickedness of mankind. But God is not overlooking it. He's just being patient. But it will be brought to an end. And... it says in verse 9, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Literally, it says the earth. Yet a little while, and wicked men will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Now, Jesus says in the Beatitudes, what did he say?
The meek shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek, they shall inherit the earth. Now this city, this bride has been prepared for her husband. All right? The bride has been prepared for her husband. Isaiah 52 and verse 1, Hebrews 11, 10 and 16, Revelation 11, 2, 21, 10, 22, 19, 3, 12, 21, 10, 19 verse 7. All of these scriptures relate to the cross reference to this right here. Now, Leviticus 26 and verse 11, Hebrews 8 and 2, Ezekiel 37 and verse 27, and Ezekiel 48 and verse 35, 2 Corinthians 6:16, John 14:23, and Revelation 7 and 15 refer to the next verse we're about to read. Kai? Ekusa? Phones?
Phones.
Megales?
Megales.
Ek?
Ek.
Tu?
Tu.
Phronu?
Phronu.
Lagustes?
Lagustes.
Idu?
Idu.
Hey?
Hey.
Skine?
Skine.
Tu?
Tu.
Thiu?
Thiu.
Meta?
Tone?
Anthropone?
Anthropone.
Kai?
Kai.
Skenose?
Skenose.
Met?
Met.
Altone?
Tone.
Kai?
Kai.
Altoi?
Laoi,
La Altu, Esontai, Kai, Altos, Holtheos, Met, Altone, Estai, and then in brackets is Altone Theos.
Where you got that at?
Brackets. It's in some other manuscripts, but not in the Foundation ones. It's an explanation again. Somebody has added it later on. And I heard a voice. Michael, here you go.
Who's this young fellow?
Yeah, this is Mike.
My grandson.
How old are you, Michael?
12.
12.
21 and verse 3.
You going to teach him Greek at a young age here?
My boys.
Huh?
My boys were studying Greek. Now you can look at that, Michael. All right. And I heard a voice. Great. All right. This word voice can also mean a sound. Great. A great sound. Okay. Phonase. We got a word phonograph from that word. Phonics. All of these comes from this Greek word phonase. Got that down, Michael? Phonase. All right. And I heard ekousa. What English word do you think comes from this Greek word akouo?
Acoustics.
All right. See, there's so much of the Greek language and the English language. Actually, the English language is a very poverty-stricken language.
Better not tell English teachers that.
Well, the English teachers know that.
But I agree with you on
that. The English language is a language that is so poor, and so few root words are actually English, that you couldn't even speak English today if you had to use English words. Because there's only a very small amount. Like, out of 10,000 words in English, only 3 or 4 are English. If you can even imagine that. All of them are borrowed from other languages. It was a very... The English was a very Stone Age language. All right, Anglo-Saxon. And it was the language that we have today is an absolute evolution of what it is today. Of course, English language is spoken all over the world today. But if it weren't for the other languages, there wouldn't be any English to speak. As simple as that. And I heard, that word's acoustic, phonase. All right, phonograph. Megales. Megales. What word in English comes from that word? Huh? Mega. And what does that mean? Maybe.
A lot large.
Mega
large,
bucks?
Large.
A lot. Large. Great amount.
That's right.
All right. How about ek?
Oh.
Out. Ek it. What does ek it?
Exit.
Ek it.
Exit.
Exit. It means out of it. Exit. All right. So we have a Greek preposition here that's ek, and it means out of. Ek tu thronu.
Out of the throne.
Out of the throne.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thronu. All right. That's real easy. What's the English word? Throne. Same word. The English word throne and thronu are the exactly same word because the English word throne came out of the Greek word thronos. Same. Logouses. Same. That's present participle active, genitive singular feminine. That comes from lego. And what does this word lego mean? It means I speak. But what is the etymology of the term lego? This Greek word. Lego. The Hebrew equivalent to this is the bar. Okay? Lego. It's a word, but it draws a word picture. In Hebrew, the word debar means a line of soldiers, shoulder to shoulder. It means a line of donkeys. It means a line of mules. It means a line of oxen. Or it can mean a line of fence. Or it can mean a fence line. It also can mean a line written on paper that conveys words. All those words in that word debar in Hebrew. Okay, debar. Now, lego, the idea of it is, and it shows you, I want you to draw a picture in your mind. How many of you ever watched a chicken or a bird out in the yard? Okay? Chickens and birds out in the yard will go around picking up on the ground, won't they?
Yes.
They'll pick up and they'll grab something to eat and swallow. That's the word lego, what it means. It means to pick out. The word election comes from ek and lego. All right? It means to pick out. And what do you mean to pick out? God made, in this word that we have here, it means that in our minds we have a vocabulary. All right? And when I'm speaking to you, or you're speaking to me, we have to pick out and set in a row a line of words so that we can convey our mental thoughts into verbal. So one of us can understand the other. And that's the word lego. And the Hebrew equivalent to it is debar. Okay? In Jeremiah, the first chapter, it says, Jeremiah the prophet, the word of the Lord came by him. The word, the bar, okay, of the Lord. And he said he set his word as a line of soldiers against people. A line of soldiers that could not be defeated. That's the way God's word is. And when God speaks his word, it is going to happen.
Amen.
And it says here, a voice or sound great out of the heavens saying, you behold. This word comes from Adon. It says, you behold. The skine. Someone turn to me, for me, to John 1 and verse 14, please.
In the Greek?
Yeah. Have you got the Greek there?
Yeah.
All right. John 1 and verse 14.
Want me to read it?
Yeah. John 1, 14. Can you translate it?
Yes, sir.
All right.
First, I'll read the Greek.
Okay.
Kai ho logos. Sarx, agenito, kai. S-K, nosen, m, hamen, kai. Ethias. Ethias, anita, tain, doxan, autu. Doxan, post, monomen, nous.
Monogenes.
As you were.
Monogenes.
Uh-huh. Patras. Play race. Caritas. Kai. Aletheos.
Aletheos.
And the word was flesh?
No, the word
became flesh.
Became flesh.
And dwelt among us.
That word dwelt there is the word skin, tabernacle, right there. He pitched his tent among us. That's the word. A skein of cloth, all this comes from this word skeine. All right? He pitched his tent among us. Now look over here. See John 1:14. This is a direct cross-reference, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right. He pitched his tent among us.
And we beheld his glory.
And we beheld as on a well-lighted stage.
The glory is of the only begotten Father.
The only begotten from...
from the Father.
Beside the Father.
Full of grace and truth.
Yeah, full of grace
and
truth.
Okay,
the only generated one.
Did I translate that okay?
Yeah, you did real well. The only generated. Monogenes. The only generated one. The only begotten from the Father. From beside the Father. Full of grace and full of truth. So it says now the dwelling of God, the tabernacling of God, is among mankind. Behold, the tabernacle of the God with the mankind. That word, anthropon. All right.
That's man.
That's mankind. Hmm. Anthropos. That's where it comes from. What is the English word that corresponds and comes from this Greek word?
Anthropology.
All right. All right, anthropology. Anthropology is what, by the way? Two Greek. It comes from two Greek words.
Study of man.
Anthropos and logos. All right. Anthropology. All right.
Yes. Brother Jim, I was going to ask you. So how does logos pertain to Lego? How does that pertain to that? I mean, my son works with Legos. How does that?
Well, I don't know anything about that, brother. I guess something you build up.
Yeah, you do. You got plastic parts. Yeah. You build the people and structures.
Yeah.
So how does that relate to this word?
Well, in Lego, you build a conversation.
Oh.
With words, with a vocabulary. Okay. I don't know because I don't know anything about that the Legos. I heard about them, but I don't know anything about it. I totally skipped about two or three generations. We didn't have anything like that when I was little.
And oh, my son's got it right
there. Yeah. And he shall dwell. Kai is Ganusen. Ganuse, that is. Third person singular, future, indicative, active. He shall dwell. That's this word right here. He shall pitch his tent among us. With or among them, and they, the peoples, look at that. Lao, Laoi. All right? Laoi. You ever heard of the nation Laos?
Yes.
All right? People. The people of him, they shall be. Esontai, third person plural, future indicative middle. They shall be for themselves because they chose God. They chose God, didn't they? And, but let's look at this too. Every time it starts, you know, we're fighting hyper-Calvinism today. And when I say hyper-Calvinism, what in the world am I talking about? You know, brother?
Would it be the belief that because God has chosen mankind, they don't have to go out and witness?
No, well, that's one of the things, yes. They don't witness. True hyper-Calvinists don't believe in evangelizing.
Yeah.
They only preach to the saved. And they don't even send out missionaries.
But now,
there are mixed up bunches like that. But, I mean, I'm talking about true hyper-Calvinists. They don't even send out what you call the primitive Baptist. Okay, they don't have missionaries. They don't believe in it at all. Because they believe that God is going to save some and he's damning others. And you're either born saved or you're born lost. And there's no decision that you can make. And they use a term that says, when Lazarus was dead in the tomb, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. So he was dead. Alright? He couldn't have come forth unless God called him by name. Because he was dead. And that nobody that is dead in sins and lost can hear the word of God and come to it because they can't respond to it. You either are created dead or you're created alive.
That's not right, though.
The theology, I mean, John Calvin and much of your Presbyterian churches and a lot, well, like the family radio, all of this, this is absolutely to them, if you don't believe this, you're lost or something. But every time in the Bible where it refers to salvation, are those being with God, you're going to find out it's either the subjunctive mode, that's a mode of without full affirmation, in other words, it depends on something, or it's in the middle voice. And right here, they shall be for themselves middle voice. All right? Future indicative middle. Middle voice. Who made the decision that they would be with God? Who made that decision?
God did.
No. They did. Because they have a volition. They have a volition. God provided. God knew in eternity past who would be saved before He ever created a man. But He also put in every person a volition. And what is volition? This is one thing that Ken preached on over there at that little Riverview Baptist Church. Volition. What is this volition? Human will. A human decision. The most dangerous thing that God ever gave you.
Did you write it first, please?
Volition? I don't know how to spell it.
V-O-L-I-T-I-O-N.
Something like that, brother?
Yes, sir.
All right. Volition. Volition. The act of being able to choose.
But yes. Man can't even place his faith in Christ unless the Holy Spirit works in his
heart. That's right. But there's something, there is something, well, Ephesians 2 and 8, from the original language, for in grace ye are having been saved through faith. And that faith is not out of you.
That's it.
All right?
And then 1 Peter.
But there is something there. Every place there is a volition. There is a volition, that a gift, the most dangerous gift that God ever gave man. Now, what do you know what sovereign means? What does sovereign mean?
That God's in control.
No, it doesn't mean in control.
In charge.
What?
One only.
Sovereign means that you do what you want to. You do what you want to because you have a right to do it. God is sovereign, isn't He?
Yes.
Because He created everything, He can do with it what He wants to do with it. Okay? So God is sovereign, and when God created man, He created him in His
image.
Also, His sovereign image. You can either choose life or you can choose death. Because God made you like Him. He created the angels. The angels and spirits. I believe a demon is a fallen spirit. He created angels and He created spirits in eternity past. And some of those, because they had a volition, chose to go the wrong direction against God. Some of the angels chose to go in the wrong direction because they had a volition, didn't they? And did God create them evil?
No.
God didn't create anything evil.
No, sir.
But He created it with a
will.
Sovereign's will. You study the Bible well enough, and you'll find out that even animals have a certain amount of sovereignty in them. I don't want to go into that deep, but just think about it. Think about it. And one place you can really think about it good is those swine there at the Sea of Galilee. When the demons went into them, their volition chose not to live. They'd rather go drown themselves in the Sea of Galilee than to live with demon spirits. They had a will. That snake in the garden, when God cursed the snake, because the snake, by way of volition, did something wrong, He loaned His body to Lucifer to be used. Think of that's just a few examples. Okay, just trace it throughout the Bible. Let's give you something to think about for the next 150 years. Okay. Just think about that one for a little while. My teachers used to tell me, think, it's a good trick if you can do it. Learn to think, it's a good trick if you can do it. And they shall be for themselves, and he, the God, with them, he shall be. All right? And then I said, auton theos at the end of it. That's actually in brackets, so we don't have to use it. It means the God of them, literally. Somebody put that explanation in there later. And then kai exelese. Kai exelese. Okay. Pon? Is that doc crunon? Or doc cruel?
It's doc...
Dacruon.
Kuon.
Okay. Dacruon.
Dacruon.
Okay. Dacruon. Ek.
Yeah.
Tu. Tone.
Tone.
Ophthalmon.
Ophthalmon.
Alton.
Alton.
Kai.
Kai.
Ho.
Ho.
Thonikos.
Thonikos.
Uk.
Uk.
Estai.
Estai.
Ete.
Ete.
Ute.
Ute.
Panthos.
Panthos.
Ute.
Ute.
Krage.
Krage.
Ute.
Ute.
Ponos.
Ponos.
Uk.
Uk.
Estai.
Estai.
Ete.
Epi.
Pote.
Pote.
Ta.
Ta.
Prota.
Prota.
Apelthon.
Apelthon.
And he shall wipe away each tear personally. That's beautiful right there. And he shall wipe away each tear personally out of the ophthalmon of them. Out of the eyes of them. What is the word ophthalmon? What's an English word for ophthalmon?
Ophthalmologist.
Ophthalmologist. All right. Ophthalmologist. And what does ophthalmon mean?
Eyes.
Eyes. All right. Ophthalmon, out of the eyes of them, and the death, not it shall be any longer. Death shall not be any longer, nor sorrow, temples, nor crying, nor pain. Not it shall be any longer, because the things the first, they shall pass away. Isaiah 25 and verse 8, 35, 10, 51, 11, 65, 19, 1 Corinthians 15, 26, 1 Corinthians 5, 17, Hebrews 12, 27, Revelation 7, 17, and 20 and verse 14, all cross-reference to this verse right here. And I want to show you something. It's a very beautiful promise, if I can find it. In 1 Corinthians, if you have a Bible. I can even find it. It says, verse 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Let's go there.
Your thanks be to God because of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
57. Thanks to the God, the one giving to us the victory. That word victory there is nikos. Or nikos, that is. Nikos, you have shoes that are called Nikes, huh? Those are conquering shoes. Are those Nikes there? Huh? All right, Nike shoes are conquering shoes. That word Nike means conquering. Thanks to us, he gives us the conquering through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. So as brothers of me, beloved, be firm, stand firm, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, always knowing that the beatings of you, not it is empty in the Lord. All right? The beatings of you. The beatings. Just think about that, beatings. How can this world beat you up? Name it. Your beatings are not in vain. Brother Hoyt Chastain preached on that one time in the seminary. He read that verse in Greek, and he preached on this. And he said, your beatings are not in vain. Not in vain. They're not empty. Now let's look back here. Beatings. Have you ever felt beat up when you were crying? Huh?
Yes.
Have you ever felt beat up when you were in pain?
Yes.
Have you ever felt beat up when you were in sorrow?
Yes.
Have you ever been felt beat up when you were plotted against?
Yes.
And assassinated? And all of these things, these are all pains, aren't they?
Yes.
Panthos. Pains. Sorrows. Somebody ever just give you a hard time and you didn't deserve it at all? You were just walking through life and they jumped right in the middle of you and started stepping on you. Mm-hmm. Some people just looking for a fight, aren't they?
Amen.
You can just walk by them and get your head knocked half off. They wear their feelings right on their shoulders, just ready to, don't brush me, don't walk too close to this fella. You're in trouble. Beatings. Your beatings are not in vain. Because our future is not in the world, but in the hereafter forever. The hereafter forever. Yes, brother.
Explain that a little bit more. In vain.
What?
Explain.
In vain?
Yeah.
Vain means empty. It's not for emptiness. Have you ever seen anybody that they just absolutely just think of mine? That they just thought, they just reached out and grabbed everything they wanted in the world. They just grabbed it and they just succeeded in everything that they did. And it's just like nothing could stop them in life. Well, how many of you ever gone out to, what's that one road out there where Grimway Farms is big places? Is that Buena Vista? How many of you have gone out there to Buena Vista and seen that absolute gigantic mansion out there? It's absolutely fenced with chain link fence and then that convict wire above it, you know, you can't get in there, and all kinds of forests and trees, there's lakes inside that thing and everything. And this guy is Grimway. He succeeded in, I guess, everything that he touched. And he built him a mansion out there. And I mean, isolated himself away like he was in a whole different world. And before he could ever let light in there, it was finished. He died. Empty. What good did that fortune do him?
Nothing.
He literally struggled through life to attain death. We've got a very sick person in the world. He's extremely sick. His name is Donald Trump. He's obsessed with money and power and influence. That's a sickness. That's not something to chase after and be like Donald Trump.
It's sin too, isn't it?
It's sin too. He stepped on a lot of people. That's not something to strive after. Because you know why? At the end of this life, what will he have attained? Absolutely big goose egg, nothing. Zero. Because if you don't put your money in the right bank and put your treasures in the right place, Jesus told his people, do not seek after silver and gold and fine clothing and things that moth and rust can devour. But seek the treasures that are in heaven that cannot be touched by those today. you seek something. My wife tells me now and then, that's the sweetest woman that ever walked the face of this earth, I think. She tells me sometimes, you know, I wish you got more respect and more glory in the world today. And I said, I don't care. It's my retirement fund that I'm thinking about. It's my retirement. I'm trying to bank in the right direction for the right purpose. Michael?
Also knows the name of ancient temples. They also name them after shoes.
What?
Shoes like Nike and Adidas.
Nike means the conqueror.
I know, but those are also ancient temples.
Nike?
Nike.
I don't know the other name at all, because I'm not familiar with anything in the world. An isolated place. I don't even watch TV. I don't even know the commercials. But I know Nike comes from Nyko, which means to conquer.
I noticed that we were studying ancient Greek.
Yeah, we're studying Koine Greek. Koine means common Greek, and it was a world language. It was the language of the whole world one time. Koine means universal. Of the whole world, okay? It meant that it was a common language among all people for a long time. Can anybody name me how long Koine Greek existed and name me the dates where it began, basically, and when it ended? Koine Greek. Come on. Who knows that answer? You get an A+ for tonight, you get a chocolate candy bar. Come on, who's going to answer that question?
From the beginning.
Huh? When did Koine Greek come into power and influence, and when was it destroyed?
1500 B.C.?
No.
What?
Babylon?
No. 330 B.C. to about 330 A.D. All right? When Alexander the Great conquered the known world at that time, that became the worldwide language of the people. And it was completely, and it lasted all of those years from 330 B.C. to about 330 A.D. And why did it cease becoming the language of the world? There was a reason for it. The Bible was written in Koine Greek. So was the Old Testament. That's called what you call the Septuagint. Everybody could understand and read the Bible. 330 A.D., there was a decision made.
Alexander the Great.
Not 330 A.D.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay.
Why did we cease having Greek as the universal language in 330 A.D.? There was a reason.
The
Roman Catholic Church outlawed the Greek language.
How did they get by with that?
Well, they were in control. They said the Bible will no longer be written in Greek, but it will be written from now on, will be the ecclesiastical, and the learned language will be Latin, because the common man did not know Latin. And so they would keep the scriptures from them.
Well,
all right? That was the language. If you had to write a master's degree, theses, or a doctorate thesis, it all had to be written in Latin. That was the learned language, the language of the learned. Okay? And so they took from the common man the scriptures, because the scriptures were going contrary to the dogmas of that church at that time. All right? That's the reason why. All right? That's why it was abolished.
Well,
as the language of the common man in the scriptures.
Now, wasn't it the idea of the Catholic Church started by Alexander the Great?
No.
It wasn't?
No.
Who was that?
The Catholic Church evolved from error in 251 A.D. and Constantine the Great.
Constantine the Great.
Married the church to the state about 325 A.D. All right? By 330 A.D., the Greek language had been abolished and Latin was established, because they wanted to keep it from the common man. They felt that they weren't they weren't worthy to hold the scriptures in their hands.
And why? Because they were being controlled.
And well, they were going to get it. It was pain and grief and sorrow and crying and wailing. This word karake, that means to wail. Have you ever seen anybody wail? It's not just crying, it's not just a tear running down your face. Wailing. Uncontrollably sobbing. Not going to be any more of that. Not with God, not in God's place. There's going to be a lot of wailing in hell, isn't there? That's all there's going to be. Wailing. But not in the abode where God is. These things, the first things, they shall pass away. They shall pass away. I'm going to give you one more verse. I'm going to let you stay just a little bit longer tonight. Would you like that? A few minutes longer? Okay. One more verse word. Kai.
Kai.
Apan.
Apan.
Hol.
Hol.
Kathai Manos.
Kathai Manos.
Epi.
Epi.
Tu.
Tu.
Thronu.
Thronu.
Thronu. Edu.
Edu.
Kaina.
Kaina.
Poyo.
Poyo.
Panta.
Panta.
Kai.
Kai.
Legay. Grafson.
Grafson.
Hote.
Hote.
Hutoi. Hoi. Lagoi. Pistoi.
Pistoi.
Kai.
Kai.
Aleith the Noi.
Aleith the Noi.
Asen. Let's go back and look at this one. And then he said the one setting. The one setting said something. The one setting upon the throne. What's the English? What's the Greek word? Throno. What is the English word?
Throne.
Just like, aren't they? Throne and throno are the same word. And then he says here again, you behold, new, I make panta. What does this word panta mean?
All
things.
All
right, you got a little practical substitute. It means all right, but all things, to understand what that all means, all things. He's going to make new all things. Now, when God created the heavens and the earth, it says, in beginnings. Genesis 1 and 1. By the way, the word Genesis, that's a Greek word. That means beginnings. It's not Barashit, Hebrew, but it's Genesis, Greek. That word, that title of the book of Genesis came from the Greek Septuagint. The translation of it, the common man's translation. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All of those are Greek words. All right, those are not Hebrew words. It says, in beginnings, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, and the earth she became formless and void. And then it goes on down to chapter 1 there and tells how God restored, renewed, recreated the heavens and the earth and put them back in order again after they had been destroyed by the evil one. Now we see that the evil one has been having great effect upon the whole world, the whole cosmos, for all these years, and God is going to completely and finally, and once for all, completely renew and build anew and shine up the heavens and the earth. All the original atomic structure is still there. But He's going to purge it. He's going to purify it. And He said, behold, new, I make all things. And He says, grafson, you write. What do you think English word comes from this Greek word, grafson?
Graphic?
Graphic. All right, graphics. Graphic. What else? Seismograph. Seismograph. There's two Greek words of seismograph. What's the other one? Seismos, which means earthquake. Alright, seismograph. The writing of the earthquake. That's where they have this machine that writes down the earthquakes that take place. Alright? These are Greek words. Because these ones, the words, faithful. God says that His words are faithful. That's pistoi, kai, alethenoi, asin. Because faithful and true they are. Next week we're going to start with Revelation 21 and verse 6. good to have you here tonight. Thank you for your endurance on those hard seats and your faithfulness of coming here. Missed a lot of people tonight out for the holidays and things. Margaret?
Could you give the date on that?
On the Greek language?
Yeah.
330 BC to 330 AD.
330?
It's in here.
Yes.
If you've got that, it's in there.
Yeah. In the Greek grammar of the Greek New Testament, I wrote the history of the Greek language in it. And you might take that one of those books like that and read that thing there, and you'll know more than everybody in your class like them. And you've got one, don't you?
I'm not.
Yep, a Greek grammar. All right, let Michael look at it. Let's be dismissed. Carl, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for this time tonight, and we look at your word. Thank you for Brother Jim and how he made this text become alive as we look at the Greek. We thank you for the Greek language, and as we study the Greek language and see the verses written in the Greek, it becomes more alive, I believe. As we go home tonight, help us to spend some time in the Word even before we go to bed, and we got to reflect on these things, even from Revelation, and help us live in light of the coming of Christ. Help us not to become too consumed with the things of this earth. Give Brother Jim good health. Help his back to be okay. Take care of his daughter, Dakota. Guide and direct us in Jesus' name.
Yeah. I'm going to take a little trip over to Pismo this from tomorrow.